All right, evening, gents. We've We've mixed it up a little bit. We're actually recording this on Saturday evening, but it's still going to come out on the Sunday. How are you both this evening?
All very well, thank you, Will. Yeah, how's everyone else getting on? Hi, Harry.
Oh, I'm very well. Very well, thank you. Very well. Hope you're all well. Yeah, I'm quite in. I'm looking forward to this kind of evening vibe.
Yeah, we figured we'd just mix it up a little bit. I mean, because as I say, this is episode 7, I think. We've done 6 in the mornings. And actually, the Jazz Lounge concept, with a sort of, you know, background vibe, quite chill. But jazz is an evening thing. So I think it's only appropriate we trial the evening feel of it. And I don't know what kind of mood you guys are in. Have either of you got any exotic drinks on the go?
I've got a Budweiser screw cap in a little flagging glass, which is
very nice.
It's actually quite a nice touch. I'm a firm believer that drinks do change depending on how you drink.
I couldn't agree more.
I think whether you've got it in a can, whether you've got it in a glass, or whether you've got it in a pint glass.
Can is a real beta move.
Or bottles.
Harry, yeah. I don't know if you've got into this, but now if I have a beer at home, because I've got so much more time, I actually put the glass in the freezer before.
Oh, that's great. I like that.
Glass. And honestly, it feels like you're in a pub. Like, it's amazing. Unbelievable.
I've never done that.
That's genius.
Leave your glass.
Hey, that is brilliant.
Between like 5 and 10 minutes, your glass, so you don't want to crack it, but like 5 minutes is perfect to get that.
Hold on, can you explain it to me? If I leave it in the freezer too long, will it crack?
I haven't tried it. I presume so, but 5 minutes, I would say, is the ideal time.
I'll let you know. I'll let you know when I stick it in there, forget about it, and 2 days later, I'm in trouble for it.
Yeah, Mother Whipple will go get her frozen peas. go get her frozen peas, and I'll just be shattered glass all over the freezer.
But it's a nice change. I said, like, normally we film this, and I pretty badly made coffee, if we film it or record it, sort of midday, I'm on my second coffee or something. But it actually is quite nice, you know, evening. I'm with you, Harry. I've just finished a bottle of Heineken.
Oh, another great beer.
I mean, that's a discussion for another time. Is our sort of lagers of all time, but I put it well up there.
That could be a very polarized debate, because everyone's going to have a different opinion.
On polarized debate, I've had a little bit of stick this week about our greatest album of the 21st century.
It was coming.
To which I say, look, it's that is democracy, isn't it? If you buy into it, you got to deal with the outcome, and that was the outcome. But there we are.
Yeah.
I think it was a fairly decided contest. But anyway, that was last week, of course. This week, boys, what have we been listening to? What are songs of the week, of course, as we do every week. What have we gone for this week?
Well, I'll start then. Quite a big week for Drake fans, because he released an extended project, obviously. And also he announced that his 6th studio album is coming out this summer, which is big. So I was listening to that, and I think it's quite good. There's some I need to listen to it a bit more, but I really enjoyed it. I don't know if you boys have listened to it. There's some good drill stuff at the end. But so I went back and listened to good old Drake. Nothing Was the Same, Take Care, some of my favorite albums, and probably one of my favorite songs. So it's quite different this week. I'm going for one of my favorite songs instead of like a song I've been listening to that's new. So it's called From Time. It's by Drake from Nothing Was the Same, and it's a very emotional, calm, chilled song, probably in my top 3 favorite songs of all time.
I went back and listened to it, and the one thing I'd say is it would fit very well in the Jazz Lounge. It's that vibe.
It's beautiful. The piano is just beautiful. And I think he's one of the best storytellers when it comes to just his voice and a simple production beat and piano. And Jenny Aiko, her vocals as well. Amazing.
He's incredible, because he just churns them out. Just the whole... I honestly can't think of a period of my life where Drake hasn't been on Hot Hits UK or whatever it is.
Amazing. Amazing.
Just always there.
But yeah, that's mine. So From Time, from Nothing Was the Same.
I enjoyed yours. What was yours?
Like Harry, I've been listening to a bit of old school, but quite a very, very different genre. So I've been in sort of nostalgic mood. So I've listened to a lot of Johnny Cash. So many of our listeners probably don't listen to Johnny Cash, rarely come across him. Maybe most popular probably from the movie Walk the Line with Joaquin Phoenix. But I'd recommend just listening through a couple of his albums. So good. I'm going to plug the song Folsom Prison Blues, just because that's my favourite. But yeah, I've just been listening to a bit of old school to just keep me going through the work. little bit upbeat.
I don't listen to much Johnny Cash. I really enjoyed that. I don't know if this is an inappropriate or an offensive reference, but it reminded me a little bit. Have you seen that Borat skit where he does the song about my country has a problem and that problem is transport? Throw transport down the well. Look it up. There's another verse which is super offensive. I'm not going to go into that one. But it reminded me a little bit of that. It was just a really nice country. I suspect, in my naivety, when people parody country music or that style of music, that's what they're trying to emulate because that is the all-time classic. Like that is the template of how you make a proper track. Again, the only thing I'd say would fit in the jazz land with a sort of sophisticated drink and some mood lighting or whatever. Really good listen.
I've never actually really listened to Johnny Cash, but he's obviously a legend of his kind of field of music, isn't it? I really should.
I'd recommend starting with the movie. Honestly, it's a good way to go.
Wait, so what's this movie?
It's about Johnny Cash's life. So Jacqueline Phoenix plays Johnny Cash, and Reese Witherspoon plays his wife June Carter, who was also a famous singer and sung with Johnny Cash. So recommend it. It's about his life, about being addicted to drugs, rehab, all of that sort of stuff.
Oh, blimey. Hey, fair. Oh, yeah, I'll keep a lookout for that one. Nice.
There we are. Plug the film.
Yourself, Webs.
Mate, mine this week is Workout by J. Cole for the exclusive reason. So both Sam and I handed our dissertations in this week and have been doing a lot of procrastination probably alongside it. And so TikTok.
Congratulations, you two again.
A lot of our songs at the moment come from TikTok. And this, for me, is the elite TikTok sound. I've just been really enjoying it. It's that one bit that do-do-do-do. That bit is classic. That's actually not going to show up very well on what I just did there on podcast. But go and listen to it. It's much better in real life. I've just been really enjoying it. And it's one of those, you know how the algorithm on these social media sites, once you start like it knows you like something because you keep clicking on them. And so now it just shows me loads and loads of them. It's just in my head. It's also a fantastic song. And J. Cole, I mean, I actually know nothing about him other than there was that meme going around about he went platinum with no features. Whatever.
Yeah, Forest Hills Drive.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, I can really get to his stuff. I've been listening to a little bit of it. And I've got a newfound respect for it. I'm really enjoying it.
I think Forest Hills Drive is one of the best hip hop albums. But the album that Workout's from is so good.
Good.
Like Lost Ones and Can't Get Enough with Trey Songz is quite a big song. Like quite a famous song.
I tell you on Trey Songz because you brought him up last week.
Yeah.
What I was listening to the song the other day. Let me just look now on my Spotify. I was listening to something and I couldn't believe that he was on it. Let me just find it.
He pops up everywhere. He's been around for so long, and he pops up everywhere. He's good. He's one of my favorite kind of R&B artists. But I think J. Cole's probably one of the best actual in terms of his flow and stuff. He's probably one of the best rappers. Like his production's probably not as good as others, but like yeah, he's really good. My brother's a huge fan. He thinks J. Cole's like the best rapper.
Hey, I have a real newfound respect, and it's something. I really like when you sort of find an artist that's not new, but you really enjoy it. I liken it a little bit to when you have a TV show that you really get into but have never watched before. And you sort of have that magical thing of, you know, I guess it's, you know, when something new comes out, like, for example, Game of Thrones last summer. That when the people that haven't watched that and they will watch it and they sort of get to experience that as they go. And it's the same with music. No, I can't find the song it was, but yeah, he was on something. I was like, no shit, that's you know, I hadn't put one and two together. But no, very good stuff. What kind of TV, boys? Have you been watching anything good this week?
I haven't. I've actually I need to finish the movie, but I started Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I watched that in the cinema.
Yeah, really good film that, but I need to actually sit down and watch that. But
do you know my biggest regret with that film? I wish I'd looked up what it was about, because I just went, my mum booked it and she said, oh, you guys want to come? I was like, yeah, sure. I wish I just knew what the film was about. because it would have been brilliant. Yeah. I went in absolutely clueless, and to be honest, I was just so confused. And then I looked it up, and I was like, "Oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense." Good film, but I just wish I'd known what's going on.
Yeah.
So I imagine your perception of the film, it kind of is based upon whereabouts you stopped it, because as it goes on, it changes quite a bit.
I reckon it's such a slow burner. I mean, a lot, not many films these days are slow burners. I think like most films, especially like a sort of action drama, you've got a big like car or shoot-up scene right at the beginning just to give you a little taste of it. Yeah. This is a real, I remember it, a real slow. You really got to earn your action. But it's a good film.
But you're enjoying it.
Yeah.
You're enjoying
absolutely.
It is a good film.
Yeah. The ending's punchy. The ending's good. I've been watching, I know I'm about 2 weeks late, but I've been watching Too Hot to Handle on Netflix. So for those who don't know, it's the show about these 10 people, 5 boys, 5 girls go onto an island, and they basically can't kiss or have sexual contact with each other. Otherwise they lose money from $100,000 cash prize. I don't think you guys have seen it. I've not
seen it. I am quite keen to watch it, but I fear that if I watch it until I have time to commit to it, it's danger.
It's danger.
I think I'd be really good on that show. I think I could just lock myself in, stick on some good TV, and keep my cash intact, I reckon.
What I enjoyed about the show, I only watched the first probably 20 minutes, the first episode, and I gave up, but I quite like the international element. I like the idea that there's a bloke from Essex with a girl from Florida or whatever, you know. I find that quite funny.
Yeah, I mean, in all honesty, I started with quite a snobby attitude, and I thought this is going to be a bunch of stupid people, and like, you're on an island, you got 100k, like, you're so lucky to have the opportunity to have $100,000, you'd be so stupid.
Is it each or shared?
So it's shared between them all. I'm only on episode, I've got the last episode to watch. I mean, embarrassingly, I started watching it last night, and I've watched 7 episodes today.
But that's not embarrassing, mate. That's Netflix culture. That's how our generation watch TV now. Watching chunks.
I started out with quite a snobby attitude, and actually the first episode is probably the worst, and actually it's actually quite a nice program. I like, you do see them develop and actually get connections, and you kind of root for the couples, and it's really nice. I mean, they lose a load of money. I mean, they're awful, but actually staying like away from each other, but still.
So I do want to watch this, but my take on this is $100,000 is, I mean, don't get me wrong, is a lot of money, but what you're playing for when you go on one of these reality TV shows is worth a lot more than $100,000, because if you can catch public attention and become a reality TV star, you're worth many, many multiples of that. So the real prize there is actually not the money. It's crafting a space in sort of public consciousness that then forms a sort of career out of it, or like that sort of influencer culture. So actually, the winner isn't the one that doesn't kiss anyone. The winner is the one who comes out of it as a sort of character that people identify with.
Mm.
So actually, it's a weird one, isn't it? Because you sort of, I guess it's there's sort of balanced motives there. I'm intrigued, though, to watch it.
Yeah, I mean, I won't give away any spoilers, but that sort of thing, you're kind of on the right track there. Like the power couple, they've done really well. Like, I checked, I followed them both on Instagram today, and they've got like 3.5 million followers, yeah. And they're basically set for life now.
But that's the thing. Like, does anyone else still follow some sort of really ropey Love Island contestants from 3 years ago, and they're now sort of like endorsing Sainsbury's basic like tissues or something,
mate? But boohoo, man.
Yeah, boohoo, man. Boohoo, or like Pretty Little Thing. Actually, I'll tell you who's all over. Do you remember Montana from a few seasons ago? She popped up on my TikTok.
Yeah, Montana Brown.
I was like, love, oh, what are you doing? You are now, you know, you had a good run. You didn't make it.
Yeah,
you didn't make it. Stop Katie making TikToks. Get off my feed. You know, maybe try and find some sort of originality now, like.
Yeah, KD from one of the old ones pops up loads. And also, I think Jordan, Michael, and Chris from that season, like last year, they all live together and they do TikToks and they pop up mine all the time. But anyway, TikTok's the new thing.
Isn't TikTok is the new thing. I mean, I have a lot of time on TikTok. So, boys, I started watching today, and what I've been meaning to watch for a while is Avenue 5. It's on Sky, which means that no one watches it. It took me quite a while to get hold of. What it is, so it's do you guys know Armando Iannucci? So he's the brains behind The Thick of It. One of those other US political ones. But he basically is sort of political satire. And I was sort of curious by the premise of it. It's basically set, I think, in the future. And the premise is, like how we have cruise ships now, and you go on an 8-week cruise, or you don't now in Corona times, but you sort of go on an 8-week cruise around, you know, the Pacific, whatever. It's space cruise. So it's set on an 8-week space cruise ship going around Saturn. And what happens is basically there's this accident, and it knocks them off track by like 0.2 degrees or something, which results in them being put off course. And instead of it being an 8-week cruise, it's now going to take them 3 years to get home. And
peak.
What I find amusing about it, and I quite like this genre of comedy, is just really small observations of how people operate in crises. And I've only watched 2 episodes of it so far. And I wouldn't go as far to say you should clear your schedule to watch it, but I'm really enjoying it because it's very sort of relatable. It's like people, you know, like there's one character who just thinks that everything they say needs to be heard. They're an absolute busybody. And it's just like, yeah, I know exactly who you are in my life. You're this person in this situation. And it's just very relatable. And I quite like it because it's such a silly premise. But actually, it is just this is like a little bit funny.
Mate, relatable content, that's what you like.
I've been really enjoying it.
Have you boys ever actually been on a cruise? I've never been on a cruise.
No, I find this the whole idea of them absolutely baffling. I don't know why you want to do it.
Yeah.
Have you attempted?
No, I haven't. My brother and my mum went on a very, like, a 3-day... When he was younger, he was obsessed with Cunard. And then you got, like, the main... Like, Queen Elizabeth II, like, those ships. They're really, like...
Yeah.
And he was obsessed, so that was one of his birthday presents. Like, a 2-day... little European tour around like Bruges and stuff. I've never seen the appeal personally, but people who like that sort of thing, like, it's perfect. You get everything you want on a moving sort of holiday, and you go get.
I think there is a very specific market for it, isn't it? And it's not us.
Yeah,
it's definitely the older people.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the idea of getting to see loads of different places appeals to me, but then the idea of being on a boat with. Like the amount of people they fit onto one boat, it's just obscene. I don't know about that.
But it is just like a floating shopping mall because you know you have a nice hotel room, you've got brilliant restaurants. They always have these like chefs, don't they? You always see these.
But they have like 15 restaurants.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. I mean, it's always sort of like, you know, like Marco Pierre White's guaranteed to have a restaurant on a cruise ship.
He's got the penthouse. Yeah,
there's an appeal because I quite like being on Terra Firma. I don't know who I want to be in the sea. And also, I think part of the appeal of it is sort of staying in a place long enough to kind of get to know it.
That's the thing. I think it's quite a sociable thing. Like, you know, apparently at dinner, a lot of the seating is like group, like tables of 10, and you meet another, it's just 2 people, you meet 8 other people. So I think it's a very social thing, which I can see why the appeal is for older generation. For me, those cruises, which like P&O and stuff, you know, those like big,
Viking and Britannic,
and all of that. That doesn't appeal to me. It feels a bit manic.
Yeah, I don't really get that.
But I could get used to a luxury cruise.
I'm sure. As I say,
I'm kind of the opposite.
I think there's a reason that, I mean, they are so geared towards older generation, you know, retired couples, that sort of thing. Maybe we grow into them.
Yeah.
But I would just rather fly somewhere, spend 8 hours cooped up in economy, and then be able to sort of crash somewhere nice. Sure. But of course, cruises, I don't think cruises are now. Now they know how, because they're basically little petri dishes, aren't they? The coronavirus was terrible on all these cruise ships because of the shared aircon and all this stuff in close quarters. So I don't know, will cruise companies still be alive in a decade or so? Tough one.
Yeah, who knows how long this thing's going to go on for?
No.
I mean, I heard that for a while some of them were stuck out in sea because they weren't allowed to come ashore.
Yeah, they were because no one wanted.
There was
to
just so them. Many people stuck on there with coronavirus because it's like one big hub. But
the other problem with them, the thing that they said, so cruise ships are, so every ship has like a flag carrier, right? So it's not flag carrier, but whatever it is, they're sort of registered to a country. And which country you're registered to has massive implications for, I don't know, but like, I think tax and basically financials. So like cruise ships operating in Italy are not Italian cruise ships. They're registered somewhere completely different. So the Italians and the French and everyone, you know, just can turn them away. And so that was part of the problem was these cruise ships were registered in all these wacky places that didn't actually operate. And then they don't have to be let in. I think they got all the Brits off of them in the end. But it is a slightly, I mean, I wouldn't want to be stuck on a cruise ship. It feels like a potentially claustrophobic place if you're not being let off to go and see wonders of the world each day.
Yeah, 100%. But yeah. It's something that I don't know, I'll probably end up doing in my lifetime, but I'm the same as you two. I don't see, I mean, if I was given a sum of money, for instance, if I abstained from kissing the entire time on Too Hot to Handle, I probably wouldn't choose a cruise ship. I'd probably choose something else. But
yeah, I'll go sat the cruise ship, mate. So we sat the cruise ship. First, our first episode, we spoke about coronavirus a little bit, and we basically left it alone. And I don't think we're going to have a discussion about coronavirus, but I do think there are, as you say, there are some sort of things that, like, what is the world going to come to? One of the things I wanted to bring up was football, Premier League, PSG, Ligue 1, all these football leagues around the world. Some are being cancelled, some are sort of carrying on. The one I quite like, so Ligue 1, the French league, called off. They said, right, league over. And they awarded the title to PSG. And I saw someone say that they might as well award it to them for next season as well, and the season after that, because they win it every year anyway, which is true.
Yeah.
But boys, where do you stand on, there's a lot of debate around the Premier League. And the Bundesliga looks like it's going to restart. So the German league looks like it's going to restart. And less maybe from a sports point of view, but just from a sort of societal, ethical, I don't know, practicality point of view. Where do you boys stand on something like the Premier League coming back?
So, So I think if it were to return, obviously it would be behind closed doors. Yeah. I don't have an issue with that personally. Obviously, part of the attraction of football is the support and the fans. However, if you look at football as any other profession, you know, at the moment, everyone's meant to work at home. Obviously, footballers can't do that. And I think at the you know, as soon as possible, people got to go back to work. Football behind closed doors is that equivalent. And I don't think the fans are necessary for football to continue. So I think, I mean, I don't know where I read it, but it's something about, you know, in one location having several stadiums to share there.
Yeah,
I think
so. I think you're exactly right. Well, they're looking at playing it in basically biosecure environments.
Yeah.
And approved stadiums, and the approval thing comes down to policing, but also just whether you can keep teams separate. Mm. But it's a tough one. I was thinking about this because it's a little bit about football. It's a little bit about giving people something to watch. It's a little bit about, you know, actually let's just carry on a little bit. But also, there's a massive sort of health aspect here because these footballers are just people, and if you ask them to sort of go out their way and do something that maybe is not right, it's a really tricky one. And as you say, it's all over the paper at the moment because there's nothing else in the sports sections. And I genuinely don't think there's a right answer. It's a really tough, and I think it just shows the problems. I mean, that's just one environment, and it gets a lot of publicity because it's very popular and people care about it. But actually, everything in life, everyone is having those same issues and same discussions. They're not all as glitzy. They don't all revolve around, you know, Premier League games that normally have 40,000 fans watching. But actually, everyone's having these terrible sort of dilemmas as to how to get things back to where they used to be. And there's no obvious answers.
I saw, I can't remember which footballer it was, but one of them, I think it was Wayne Rooney, came out and said that they're being treated like guinea pigs. And then there was another one that came out and said that he was worried about coming back to the sport because obviously his family is jeopardized by the fact that he's going out and having contact with people, even if it's just on a pitch. But I think another issue for clubs is that the money-wise, yeah. I mean, a lot of revenue is from ticket sales. And I know Barcelona are looking at, they're selling the rights to the name of their stadium.
Yeah, that I think is
close. To raise money. But then again, a lot of people think that that's actually just a ruse and that the club chairman just wants, you know, to money, and it was always the plan. Yeah. But also, the rogue newspaper article I saw this week was that the NBA are looking at the High School Musical set.
Yeah, I saw that. Disney
World, Florida, as a place that all teams could go and play because it's large enough to facilitate all the teams, and it would be one court that they play all the games on, which is crazy. But
I saw that. That's funny.
So but Troy Bolton's legacy lives on.
Yeah, it's all these, but it's these creative solutions. On the, I think you make an issue point about ticketing. So the big clubs actually, the match day revenue, they can survive with that. But it's the smaller clubs that match day revenue is what runs them. That's how they make their money. And there's also a sort of thing here, which is are you all in or are you half in? Because you can't play sport and social distance. So, like, if you do go back to playing football, do you sort of faff around with the charade and say that you're not allowed to touch people during corners and you've got to minimise physical contact? Because that's not, we've all played sport to, I mean, we'll play football to differing levels. You two are much better than I am. But you can't play sport half in. You're all in or you don't really play. And I think it's another tricky one to consider.
No, yeah, of course not. I mean, if they carry on football, then it's got to be proper, you know, rules and stuff. They can't then add in the rules.
Yeah, it's tough.
But I mean, I have honestly no idea the way it's going to go. I mean, I've seen some Bundesliga teams are selling cardboard cutouts of fans, so fans can pay to have their cardboard cutout put in the stadium.
I quite like that.
Which is actually quite. It sounds a bit tragic, but at the same time, it's actually quite nice.
No, I like
but
it.
Then but the Dutch league completely called off the season.
You know when you like make a pavilion or something. Like, I know Sunderland did it. You could buy a brick at the Stadium of Light, and then it has your name on it, and it's sort of there. Similar to that, it's quite cool. People like to be a part of their clubs.
Yeah, it's quite nice. But then, yeah, the Dutch league have completely called off, and they haven't given any. They've kept. I think no teams have been relegated, and like two teams have been promoted. So I think they've got two extra teams next season, but they haven't given the title or anything. They've just cancelled it.
Yeah.
Which is weird. I mean, I haven't. I mean, it's.
But
I don't know
if
how.
If the Dutch is another one, just give it to Ajax and give it.
Well, PSV aren't bad. PSV aren't bad.
Oh, but they're not going to win the title. So, but anyway, look, I think there's, you know, sort of it's emblematic of all the weird little dilemmas that are sort of going on, and no one really knows what's happening. The golf courses seem like they're going to open, Sam. I was reading the other day, apparently May the 11th is being counted as
my exams. This summer, I think I'm just going to be a full time golf player.
No, I'm going to be playing pro. I'm not going to play pro. I'm hopefully playing to a reasonable standard. You're right. This is going to be great because we've not only been cooped up inside with no sport. The golf is the one where everyone now will just. The second we can get outside, I'm going to spend as much time as I can outside, and golf is the perfect way of doing that. You're outdoors. You can get out of your family bubble or whatever it is and give everyone a bit of breathing space. And then the best bit is you can play golf forever. It's not like going for a run or something. Your stamina is a determining factor there. You can hit balls on the golf range until your hands are bleeding, basically.
Without a doubt. It's
I'll still be shit by the summer, but
no, it's I think golf, I'm gonna turn to golf. I think tennis is really gonna take a while to get back to that. Well, particularly the professional game, obviously, because it's so international.
Yeah.
I heard Andy Murray in his little talk was saying, don't expect tennis back until like next year.
It's a tough one, isn't it? Because actually, I guess the only barrier for you playing against someone in tennis is that you both have to touch the balls.
Yeah.
But actually, apart from that, there's in singles anyway, even if you're both up at the net, you're probably still socially distanced. Yeah. You're probably fine.
I think local like club tennis could probably come back soon. Maybe with
yeah.
But I think that'll be fine. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about making professional tennis just like nationals for the next couple of months. But then professional players don't want to be playing national tournaments when they're used to be playing Wimbledon, you know.
True.
So,
although it might be, I do think, you know, this might be a leveler. And actually, in the absence of anything, and maybe you would take what you can get. I'm not sure. It'll be interesting to see, you know, someone like, I mean, probably maybe not Andy Murray, but maybe the British game is a bad example, but some of these absolute superstars around the world, they might, you know, it might be a chance for them to sort of get back and play some local tennis.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Well, I mean, I'm interested to see the you two hit up for a round of golf, decide who's the best golfer in the other.
Sam is going to be the better golfer than me.
No.
My golf game is so inconsistent. And what's so infuriating is I have shown glimpses. And I've hit some shots that I'm not sure how I was capable of hitting, but they are so few and far between. And it's just infuriating. But I really, really, this summer, I'm going to hit it hard.
Well, you know, everyone's had a break from golf for the last few months. I think golf courses are going to be incredibly dangerous over the next summer because no one's had any practice. Balls are going to be flying over.
Yes, but also, mate, I also think good luck getting a tee time.
Yeah, exactly.
Mate. You're going to have to tee up. You're going to have to be like left and be like, right, yeah, you can tee up at 6 a.m. if you want to at sunrise, and you might have to just take that.
It'd be dangerous if I'm there.
I would take that. If you said the only time you can play golf is sunrise, I'd be like, yeah, I'll play whenever. Just get me out of the house.
I'm route one every time. Driver, ball, and it's just wherever it lands. I have no control over my wrists. It will go. Most of the time, it's a swing and miss. But anyway, yeah, I'm blessed in other sports. You know, eating captain. we win in other areas. But yeah, no, I think sports one of those things that I think everyone's hoping will come back. I mean, I'm of the opinion, obviously, that I think any sport, if it's behind closed doors, if it's, you know, nationals, or if it's restricted in any way, is better than nothing. I mean, the Belarusian league's a bit boring at the moment.
I agree.
Been following it avidly. So yeah, we'll see what happens.
I agree with that. But I'm going to segue us. This is really, really niche, but it's slightly relevant to where we are at the moment. So we've all got stacks and stacks of time and not much to get done. Or in the case of us, as you say, we've got essays to do. And so I don't know how I came across this, but I was kind of just wasting time in any way I could. I came across something which is a little bit too serious maybe for the show, but I think it sort of has some relevance. This is Parkinson's Law, and it says that work expands to fill the time you have available for it. And I think in the relevance...
Absolutely not.
Coronavirus now. Mate, how... there are so many examples of me just like stringing out menial tasks to fit an hour.
I've been so ahead of schedule before this quarantine, and now I'm so behind.
Exactly. also, you're saying like in the context of, so we've had deadlines that have been moved.
Yeah.
And I'm saying like if they hadn't been moved, I would have done them by now. But you move them back, you give me an extra week, and all it means is I do the same or maybe less work in the double amount of time. And why, there's some sort of quote here I quite like, which he says, this is so me. In a 10-hour day, you have twice the time to fall behind your commitments as you do in a 5-hour day. And it's so true. If you give me more time, I will find more ways to get confused, bored, and sort of disillusioned.
So this Parkinson bloke saying that if you get more time, you'll take longer. Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, I haven't put a huge amount of looking into it, but basically, he says that work expands to fill the time you have it. So there's not necessarily a relationship between quantity of time and quality of work. And also just more generally that we procrastinate as a species, and I just think that is so true. Like sort of the most boring stuff. Just sort of like arranging my fucking files on my computer, like anything to not do work, and you'll just string things out forever and ever and ever. Yeah. And I just thought, in essay terms, think about the things you normally do in a day. You know, you walk somewhere, you go somewhere, you have time to chill, to socialize. All of that's gone, and so in theory, you have so much more free time. Yet everything is still taking just as long to do, or maybe twice as long.
I don't walk anymore. I don't know the last time I went outside.
It's terrible, isn't it? I'm like a vampire. My daily steps are so low now.
I'm just pale.
Yeah, I went on my first walk today and like, maybe. It's nice to see sunlight again, you know?
I think my skin will burn the first time sunlight reaches it. Just, My blinds haven't been raised. I haven't got out with joggers. I'm just a wreck of a man. But oh well, we stay positive.
Yeah, we stay positive. We stay happy.
So happy. Yeah, it'll be good. We'll be in the Durham sunshine in a month's time. So
hopefully, touch wood.
Words been touched.
Jens, I don't know about you, but I've quite enjoyed this evening slot. I think it's been a really nice a mood and a vibe for the Jazz Lounge. Of course, it will still come to our listeners on a Sunday. But we'll be interested to hear any feedback. I wonder if they can tell the difference, tell that we're more relaxed and we've had a beer and we're more eased into the day, sort of ready to nod off, than in the morning when we're sort of scrambling to find coffee and keep ourselves awake.
Yeah, people will probably tune in when they hear you haven't made a quiz.
The other thing, I said to the boys, as I said, boys, should we do it in the evening? Yeah, great idea. Also, I think we give the quiz a week off. Purely because it's my turn to do a quiz.
Next week will be our lowest listen to
episode. Next week is not my problem anymore. This week is my quiz week, and it's not happened. I think we can reintroduce one of my quizzes again.
No, I don't think
maybe
so.
Maybe a long time down the road. With some very specific time limits.
I think this evening starts quite nice.
It's been fun. We'll see. We'll see what feedback is, and then go again next week.
Perfect.
And apologies. Last week my audio was awful. So hopefully it's better this week. But apologies if you were listening. And it made Tansy and Whipple look like they knew Disney films off by heart because they guessed the song before they even played.
It was odd.
So yeah, we're Disney fans here, of course. But the audio is a bit off. So sorry. Hopefully it'll be better today. But
get in touch. Follow us Instagram at the Jazz Lounge Podcast. Let us know your feedback. And if you do want to come on the show, do get in touch as well. It's good to have Lily on. And also to shout out Sid. Sid's line. Sid plugged our Jazz Lounge t-shirt again. And Harry, you bought one. I've bought one. And she's done another one in black, which implies that someone else has bought one. So I'm intrigued to know who else has bought a Jazz Lounge line, Sid's line t-shirt. But good on them.
I mean, I didn't realise that. Someone's actually bought a Jazz Lounge t-shirt.
Someone else has bought one. Good for them. I wonder if they're pod listeners.
Mate, they're deluded. Why would they spend money on that?
No. Let's not mix up the quality of the podcast with the quality
Okay, that sounds bad. No, obviously the t-shirts are amazing. But yeah, I mean, they love the... Okay, yeah. Okay, that sounds bad. Oh, well,
We're editing that out.
No, the t-shirts are amazing. It's just...
Yeah, Harry, let's leave it there so you can't dig a more hole. Boys, been an absolute pleasure. See you soon.
Oh, no.
Cheers, guys.